This is a KUNV Studios original program.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk UNLV, Public Radio KUNV 91.5. I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Dr. Sammy Scales.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening. We have a wonderful show lined up for you today. We have Captain Sledge, and we have Captain Sutton, U.S. Air Force.
And I am Dr. Tanya Crabb. Welcome to the discussion.
Great. Well, let's jump right into this. Let's start with Captain Sutton. Could you tell us, please, Captain Sutton, how did you tell us your backstory first? We like to start with the backstory.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. So, name Pierre. So, Captain Pierre Sutton. I'm from Illinois. So, I say Illinois because I lived all over Chicago, the Chicagoland area. So, grew up on the south side of Chicago, then junior high, high school, college, moved out to the northwest suburbs, Hoffman Estates. That's where my mom and everybody lives, where I met my wife. That's where my kids and my sister live. And then we had a house out in Elgin, Illinois. So that's where I'm from. And how do I end up at UNLV? Well, I applied through the Air Force to be a Air Force ROTC associate professor here at UNLV. Thankfully, I got picked up. It was only one slot open, one slot available. I applied for it. I actually stayed an extra year in North Dakota in order to apply, to be eligible to apply for that job. So I was very grateful and thankful that I was able to get it. So that's how I got here.
Sounds like destiny.
That's right. That's right.
I hear destiny talking.
Thank you for your cold service.
And Captain Sledge.
Okay. So, So my backstory, I'm from San Diego, California. That's my hometown. I love it. It's upbringing was definitely difficult, definitely a challenge from Southeast San Diego. It's definitely you had to know what to do and how to get around and how to, you know, live your life out there. Stayed out there until I was about 12 years old, and then I went to go live with my dad in Chicago. So I was right down the street from him, didn't even know it, right? South side of Chicago, man, I didn't know food until I got there.
That's right.
I didn't know food until I got to Harold's and all those delicious places to eat at. Very dangerous place indeed. After that, I, turned 18 and then I went back to San Diego, hung there for about a year, and then I joined the United States Air Force from San Diego. How I got to UNLV, same thing. I applied. I was at Creech Air Force Base out there in Indian Springs, Nevada, as a cyber operations officer for a test group. And I saw the opportunity pop up and I said, look, I want to do more. I want to pour all this years into the Air Force back into the new generation. That was what drove me. And that's why I'm here today.
All right.
Wonderful. So I have a couple questions.
Okay.
How long have you both been in respectively? Were you in the Air Force respectively?
So I've been in, it'll be 18 years for me in June.
Okay.
And in May, it'll be 20 years for me.
Okay, so now the question du jour.
Wow.
Why the Air Force?
Like, exactly.
Yeah. What drew you to the Air Force in particular? And either one of you, whoever feels comfortable answering first, please feel free to jump on.
Okay, I'll go first. I like blue. As crazy as that sounds, it sounds shallow. That was a part of it. But my dad, who was a Vietnam veteran, his name is Milton Kelsey. He was Navy. And one thing he sat me down and told me, he said, if you're going to do that, go Air Force. Quality of life is just different. And I would encourage you. I would see all the Air Force people doing the thing and I'd be under this condition and they know nothing about that. Right. And he's like, you're material, you're Air Force material. Go. Right. That if you got to do it, go. So that's kind of what pivoted me and guided me in that direction.
Good. Thank you.
All right. So interestingly enough, out of high school, when I first graduated high school, I was going to join the Marines. So I wanted to be a Marine. Right. But my dad was like, no, like, you know, basically he was like, you know, you're good academically. Like I was, you know, running track. I had went to the Junior Olympics and stuff like that. And so he's like, nope. Go away to school, run track, you know, see what college life is like. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the military ain't going nowhere. And so that was when I was 18. Mm-hmm. I ended up joining the Air Force when I was 25. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why I chose the Air Force, because I had friends who were in the Air Force. I had friends who were in all of the branches. But it was my friends that were in the Air Force. I was like, yeah, okay, if I go into the military, you know, the Air Force seems to be more so the branch that I want to go into for those same reasons, quality of life, and just the mission. And also the different type of jobs that I was interested in, like airport management, mm-hmm. working on planes, like literally, like if you want to work on planes, and that's what I wanted to do when I was 25, I wanted to work on planes.
That
like,
makes sense to me.
You got to go to the Air Force. No better, no greater place to go but the Air Force. Mm-hmm. So that's how I ended up in the Air Force.
Wow. Yeah. So can you talk us through the process of students here at UNLV if they mm-hmm. wanted to, or any student, if they wanted to become a part of the ROTC program at UNLV? And what are the qualifications? What do students have to do to become a part?
Sure. Yep. Yeah. So not only do we do you know, our assistant professor duties here with ROTC, but we also have additional duties. So one of my additional duties is the recruiting officer, education officer. So it's a great question for me to answer. The threshold for Air Force ROTC for freshmen, like folks come from high school, is pretty low. All they have to do is get accepted to either UNLV, CSN, so College of Southern Nevada, or Nevada State University. They just got to be accepted. And the reason that is because we don't, especially with them being so young, right? So we're looking at, you know, 17, 18-year-olds and then projecting when they are 22, 23 years old, right? So they're still very young. Some of them might not have done very well in high school, didn't enjoy high school. But mm-hmm. the fact that they took the initiative and say, you know what, I still want to better myself, right? I still want to go to college. So we say, okay, all right, you know what, we're not gonna hold anything against you as far as like academically or you know, to a certain extent character wise you know, cause kids make mistakes. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how long ago that mistake was made. You know, we can get certain waivers and things like that our detachment commander can you know approve to allow them to join. But that's the sole reason why we want them to be, you know, college students. They just need the acceptance letter. They need to be a college student. They need to expect to be a full-time college student in the fall semester. So whatever semester, fall or spring semester, whatever semester they plan on joining the Air Force ROTC program, they have to be a full-time student. Reason being is we don't want you part-time in it. And then it takes you, instead of 4 years to go off and become that second lieutenant and go, you know, lead airmen and guardians, it's 8 years because you're slow dripping your commission. And mm-hmm. so we need you. We need them to finish that college degree in 4 years. So that's one. So we had
the question was what qualifications do they need to
Okay.
The
yep, Force? Yep. Yeah. So they are accepted to one of those three schools. They expect to be a full-time student. They'll complete what's called the WINGS application. So that's like the official Air Force ROTC application that they'll fill out. They'll fill that out. They'll do a little prospective cadet questionnaire that we have where they'll basically, it'll be just like this, like, okay, well, tell me why do you want to be an officer? And it's no like word requirement. Like they don't have to do a certain number of words or anything like that. It's just for them to get used to being able to articulate themselves in writing, because that's what they're going to have to do as commissioned officers. They're not going to be able to stand up in front of, you know, the commander of U.S. Global Strike Command and vie for their people. They're going to need to be able to put that information, you know, do that in the written form. So we ask them to answer those few questions. And then after that, we'll do a little qualification, make sure that they fit as far as like they filled out all the information correctly, send us their letter of acceptance, and then they can come on in. They'll have to be physically fit. So when I say physically fit, meaning they have to be able to participate in our physical training. We do physical training twice a week. So they will have to be able to participate in that. So they should come in as physically fit as possible, but most of them, most folks, you know, civilians, they're not prepared to PT like we PT is what we call physical. They're just not ready for it. Mm-hmm. So we give them time throughout their first academic year to get, you know, to meet standards and exceed those standards.
Okay. That's good.
You know, so fun fact, I almost joined the Air Force.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was actually the first branch that I looked into, and that quality of life piece is real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No regrets. I mm-hmm. absolutely adored my time in the service. But while we're on the conversation, I think maybe there might be some misunderstandings around in terms of the type of person that the service attracts, you know. So mm-hmm. in terms of characteristics, what type of human are you looking for beyond the, you know, you can get them ready physically in terms of getting them up to speed.
Yep.
But what are you looking specifically in terms of characteristics of the people that come across your desk? How do you know that they might be a good person for your organization?
So I would say that people who have grit, people who have solid character, right? And we say, what does that mean? People who are looking towards self-improving and improving others, right? These are the things that we look for. We can make pilots all day long. We can make cyber technicians. We can do that all day long. But the baseline that we're looking for are people of character. We want people to be able to, here's a standard, I've got to meet and exceed it, right? And I'm going to encourage others to do so as well. I'm not going to sit there and exceed the standard and then watch, you know, Johnny Smith not do it, right? I'm going to hold them to that, right? As a supervisor and a leader of people, right? I'm going to be able to take information that I can see from my experience and provide that confidently to and accurately to a commander who makes decisions about where our service is going and where our country is going. I need you to have that confidence. I need you to have to utilize your experience, because everybody has different experiences. That's the diversity of this whole thing that we love, right? I need you to utilize that and tell other people what your experience is and what you recommend so we can make decisions here and we can get to strategically where we're trying to go. So as we go through this ROTC process, it's a 4 or 5 year interview. It is a 4 or 5 year interview. Just because you hit a certain milestone doesn't mean you're done. You're not done until you're done. It is like kindergarten. Everything you need to know, you learn in kindergarten, but you're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. As long as you're accountable, right? As long as you admit those and understand the second, third, fourth effects, that's what we're looking for. We understand you're not going to have it down. That's what we're here for. That's what your team is here for. We want you to make mistakes. This is the time and the place to do that. That's what we mean, character. We'll teach you the rest on the way.
Is there a boot camp of any kind? Because I know in the Navy, a while ago, there was like Great Lakes, Illinois, that, you know, the sailors would go to people would go to become sailors. Right. Is there a boot camp? Where's the boot camp for the Air Force?
Mecca. The Air Force Mecca, that is. That'd be Maxwell Air Force Base. So.
And where's that located?
That is in Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, in Alabama.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's our Mecca.
Is that the only place?
Yeah. And so we have two. So that's for Montgomery, Alabama. Maxwell is where officers go. So that's where all of our commissioned officers go for their basic military officer training and beyond. So up to 4-star generals, everybody go back for their education at Maxwell. Boot basic military training for enlisted, that's at San Antonio. So Lackland, joint base Lackland, San Antonio.
How long is that for enlisted? How long is the boot camp?
8 weeks, 8.5 weeks nowadays.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It changes and varies, but depending on what the strategic leaders need and what the warfighters need, that adjusts how much, you know, basic training and length and things that we need to fit in. If we need more of something, then eventually it'll come from the combatant commanders saying, hey, we need you guys to have this skill set.
So a couple of things that I heard that really excited me. First of all, that passion came right through.
Yeah, you could definitely feel
right
through.
I could feel that passion when you were talking. But while we're on the conversation of different rank structures, I don't know that everyone understands enlisted versus officer and what the requirements are and how ROTC is different than, say, just enlisting in the military. So could you speak to that?
Sure. Yeah. So with the rank structure in the military, you have the enlisted corps. So that's 80% of any Department of Defense Armed Forces branch. is mainly enlisted. So these are for the Air Force. It's our airmen all the way up through our non-commissioned officers, so our NCO. So at the bottom you have, or at the lower rank, the lowest rank you have Airman Basic, and at the highest rank, E9, you have, you know, Chief Master Sergeant. Then on the officer side, so the majority of the enlisted corps, you know, that's the backbone, right? We call them the backbone of the Air Force. They're the ones getting the job done, right? So they're the ones when you pull up to the gate, you know, at the gate, the gate guard, the security forces airman out there, the defender, that's an airman, you know what I'm saying? That's an airman, that's a staff sergeant, tech sergeant, maybe. And so majority of their job is the tactical, what we call on the tactical level. So doing the thing, right? Doing the mission, right? So whether it's running the gym facilities, whether it's out actually building runways and fixing runways and things like that on our runway so that our pilots and everybody can take off and do their jobs, or sitting in the air traffic control tower, right? They do that as well. So our airmen are highly technical. They are truly the true subject matter experts when it comes to the different areas and mission sets that we have, right? So they are the technical experts. And so then you have us, who are the commissioned officers. So for us, you start off as a second lieutenant, and you're basically coming in as in that mid-manager, like mid-management level, to where on the enlisted side, you got to work your way up. You know, like the old McDonald's, you know, like Calvin. Remember Calvin? Old McDonald's, you know, started at the fries, you know what I'm saying?
First on mopping
floors. This week is the fries. And then eventually he became the manager. But, you know, it was a person when Calvin was still mopping those floors. It was a person that came in as a manager because they either had a college degree or certain managerial skills, experience to where they can come right in and be that manager. So that's what a commissioned officer. That's what second lieutenants are. So they get some sort of officer training, right, while they're in college, typically. So through Air Force ROTC or at the Air Force Academy, or for like myself and Captain Sledge, we actually enlisted first, finished our college degrees, our bachelor's degrees while we were in the military as you know, NCO, so non-commissioned officers. And then we applied for officer training school.
Okay.
And we got selected that way.
So if I understand you correctly, non-commissioned officers usually don't have degrees when they first enter, and you can go to college and get your degree and apply to be a commissioned officer. Correct?
Right.
Okay. So that's the difference between enlisted and officers.
Yes.
Officers
right.
usually
and
have degrees.
Really, and nowadays,
it's a debatable topic.
Yeah, the truth, because everybody, so everyone has some sort of secondary education now, for the most mm-hmm. part. Even enlisted. Like I said, I had two associate's degrees when I enlisted. Mm-hmm. So I was able to, instead of come in as an E1, I came in as an E3. So instead of an airman basic, I came in as an airman first class. And so I had to finish my degree, my bachelor's degree. But we have airmen that come in like with master's degrees and bachelor's degrees. So the only true difference is between that person that's enlisting is the route they chose. They, like this person went and saw an enlisted recruiter that's always out on the streets, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that we know that's out on the streets where Air Force ROTC recruiters, we are actually also the, like I said, the professors, right? Carrying out the mission. And so we do the recruiting on the side. We mainly recruit students that are already in college. That's the way that most people find out about ROTC. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the biggest difference. And then so that person with their degree, they've completed a basic officer training. That's the difference. So we have folks who left our program. They have bachelor's degrees, but they didn't finish our program. And so they didn't get the officer qualification. They didn't get commissioned as second lieutenants. So they didn't complete the officer training, but they still got their college degree from UNLV. And then they go work somewhere else. But so that's truly the difference. If you want to add to it.
Yeah. One thing I do want to add on is the origins of power. Right. So a lot of people don't know the difference. When we take different oaths. Enlistment, you take a different oath than an officer. Right. You have to realize where your power comes from as officers, our power comes from our senior leaders, our president, our Congress, right? That's where in order to do our job effectively, we have been empowered to make decisions that shape our country. That's given to the officers, discharge duties of the office upon which I'm about to enter. That is the same oath that the vice president takes, which is similar to what the president takes. We as officers take that oath, right? Enlisted is different. It's obey the orders of the officers who I'm under, right? It's your origin of power that kind of definitely sets the scale and realizes who is who. At the end of the day, I'm deploying that weapon. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I need your support in order to do that and make that happen. And everyone understands that. They understand that relationship. They understand that balance. So just, yeah, it's a lot to understand what the difference is between enlisted and officer, but the origins is literally what oath you take. And we are held to that. And we reaffirm it even when we promote, we reaffirm that. You need to understand the words because that's what we do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Captain Sutton, you mentioned that, talked about teaching and students. So you teach aerospace studies here on campus.
Right.
Could you tell us what that is? Because clearly I have no clue, and I'm thinking it's a bunch of math.
Anytime I think of a bunch of math, I'm not good.
So could you tell us about that class and what it's about, what the students are learning, how is it helping them, that kind
of thing? Yeah, so aerospace studies is really just the it's the curriculum that we want all of our officers, that the United States Air Force, Department of the Air Force, that we want all of foundational like competencies that we want all of our officers to know, right? So it's aerospace. I know aerospace, it makes it sounds more, you know, more technical and things like that, but it's really as simple as, like, I teach the 100s or the traditional freshmen, and it's history and heritage of the Department of the Air Force. Like, that's what I teach. And so we're teaching them about, you know, the history, like where the Air Force came from, how we came out of the Army Air Corps, right? We used to be a part of the Army, and then we separated into a separate branch. Talking about, you know, our rank structure, how we just talked about the rank structure, the difference between the ranks and things like that, the different bases and the different operational levels within the Department of the Air Force, our core values, of course, right? That's what sets us apart. And even though all branches have a set of core values, but ours are specific to us. And so that's part of it. And then we have our 200 level where they learn team building and leadership, a little bit more leadership qualities. And that's in the classroom. So these things I'm talking about that I instruct, this in the classroom. So they show up to my class at 8:30, you know, to 9:20 Tuesday and Wednesday, and I instruct them do this. Captain Sledge does the same thing with his junior class, right? And they're talking about communication, team building, and then our deck commander, he teaches as well. So he teaches the upper class, so the seniors, the folks getting ready when they're getting ready to go. To the Air Force or to the Space Force, like right before they graduate and get that second lieutenant commission, Lieutenant Colonel Young, right? So the deck commander, he teaches them about national security, you know, and the ways of the Air Force and things like that. And so that's us. That's our teaching part. And then our cadets, so the cadet wing, they are seniors and our juniors that's in our program. They also teach. Right. Because that's part of our job. A part of our job is to make our own replacement. Right. And so the seniors and juniors in our program, or the members of what's called the Professional Officers Corps, they run what's called the cadet wing. And so they are in charge of making sure that when it comes to the practical application of those things, knowing how to march, the cadets knowing how to wear their uniforms properly, knowing how to PT, living up to those physical fitness standards, living up to those core value standards. And they execute that on Fridays for 2 hours. And it's called Leadership Laboratory. And that's all on the cadets. Myself, Captain Sledge, Colonel Young, Tech Sergeant Riggleman, our NCOs. We just step back. We're just there to observe and advise as needed. But it's their show, because we want them to get that practical use of, you know, of knowing how to lead folks, right? Because it's not a, what we do, the business that we're in, it's a people business, first of all. And so that's what we tell them, like, you got to be about the people. It doesn't matter what your mission is. Right now, your mission is to march and make sure they know how to march. But on the real Air Force, we don't march, right? But we go out to war, we deploy, we do things like that. And so you need to start exercising those muscles, so to speak, before you actually get out there to the Air Force. And so that's aerospace studies, basically, in a nutshell.
You know, honestly, as I listen to it, I'm like flashing back to my own training. Yeah. But as I listen to it, the word that comes to mind is transformative.
Yeah.
There's a transformation that's taking place from who they are to who they will become as they make their way through this. I'm wondering, in terms of the student piece of it, how is all of this integrated with the students? Do they need to consider a particular major? How does this work with their, you know, day-to-day getting an education and a degree? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So fortunately, anybody from anywhere can come through ROTC. We have folks from art all the way to mechanical engineering. We ask them, what do you want? What do you want to be? And sometimes they don't know. That's fine. We'll learn. This is a 5-year interview process. So once we figure out what they need and we get academic plans and all that other stuff like that, we get a feel of what they're trying to do. And we start vectoring them in that direction. They change directions all the time. We're advisors. Our job is to give them information so they can make a decision. Ironically, they do the same thing when they become second lieutenants to their field grade officers, right? We teach them, again, there are replacements, so we teach them that. So as they go along their academia, we set them on a vector path, and as long as they follow that path and do well and do what we're told them to effectively, they are on their way. That's pretty much how it goes.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And they also have to be very good college students. So there's no one in our program. I think our average, our GPA average is a 3.3. Mm-hmm. So anything below a 3.0, it's not cutting the mustard, right? Because we also not only want to be those leaders, but you got to, like I said, you got to show and prove, right? Like our standard is excellence. It's not perfection, right? But it's excellence, right? 92 is still very good, right? And so we make sure that they understand that as well.
So we have a minute or so left. So okay. Final words. How would someone reach out to you? If someone is listening and they say, I'm super interested in this, what is the best way for them to get into contact with you and the ROTC program?
Yeah. So the best way is actually just hitting us up through our org box, because that's 24/7. We can get whatever information they're looking for to them very quick. And that's at AFROTC@UNLV.edu. They can also go to our website, and on our website, we have all the qualifications. We have videos showing like cadet life and things like that. And we also have a video that goes in depth. It's like a 25-minute video that goes in depth about Air Force ROTC and commissioning. And they can find that at unlv.edu/AFROTC/join, J-O-I-N. And they can also give us a call at 702-875-5313, and our admin assistant can take down the information and get that to me, and I'll reach out to them.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for your service and your sacrifice.
All right, thanks for having us.
And thank you for giving us some time out of your day.
Yeah, excellent, thanks. Excellent. Well, in like 10 seconds, could you give us any closing remarks?
You will be challenged. You will be challenged. And we will make sure that it's okay, let you know it's okay to make mistakes, but have the courage to make mistakes so we can help you out.
Excellent. Captain Sutton?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. You will be challenged, but understand that failure is a part of it. And we push you to fail. A lot of times we put you in situations to fail so that you can grow from it. You can grow that callus and understand that it's not, you know, it's not, things aren't always life or death or whatever. And they're not as major as they seem to be. But if I can do it, they can definitely do it.
Absolutely. So excellent. Thank you, gentlemen, so very much. And again, thank you for your service. Thank you for this interview here at the podcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Of course, thanks for having us.
And that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
For more Let's Talk UNLV, be sure to follow us on social media where you can get the latest updates on the show plus great behind-the-scenes content. We're on Facebook at Let's Talk UNLV Podcast, Twitter at Let's Talk UNLV, and Instagram at Let's Talk UNLV Pod.